The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Allow me to add my welcome to everyone else's welcome that you might have received today. If you're a guest, thanks so much for being with us. My name is Jason. I'm one of the teaching pastors and elders here at Summit. And the fact that you're our guest today, we don't take that for granted. As a matter of fact, there's a guest card located either right in front of you or a few seats down from you. It looks like this. We would love for you to fill that out. And at the end of the service today, we're going to receive an offering. Some baskets will be passed. But all that we ask you put in the basket is this guest card. Someone from our team would love to send you an email this week. Also want to invite you to stop by our information desk out in the foyer. And someone would love to meet you there after the service. I believe Kathy Peaver is out there today. She would love to meet you, meet your family, has a free gift for you, so stop by if you would. We would greatly appreciate that. We say this almost every week. I'll say it today. There are a lot of great churches in this area, and when we say great churches, what we mean by that is there are other churches that desire to make much of Jesus and the gospel, which is what we desire to do here at Summit. And so the fact that you're our guest, we just don't take that for granted. Thank you so much for being here. And if you're a regular, it is great to see you as well, all the regulars that are out there. Kevin, good to see you. Now, let's have pastoral confession time. It's been a hectic morning, okay? The internet went down. And then I went back and I started, in the moment of discouragement and despondency, I went back and read Acts, and I realized that the early church did not have the internet. And so we're going to be fine today. We're going to be fine. If I hadn't, you probably wouldn't even notice, except for those of you who are checking your social media feeds while I'm teaching. You would have noticed, but that have our password and get on our internet. Everything's fine. Everything's really good. I got to thinking about the craziest things that have happened on a Sunday for me or just in teaching times. Did one time have somebody here at Summit Mall, as a matter of fact, who passed out during the service. They were seated right over here, and the son-in-law of the lady who passed out was actually teaching. So that made for, she's passed out while he was on the stage. And then he said, are there any doctors or something like that? But this whole section's doctors. Whether you know it or not, you're all doctors. And they were able to help out, and she was totally fine. One time I was teaching, and the lights went out in the whole, we were kind of outside in like this pavilion area, and the lights went out in the whole place. Like someone had hit a power line, and the whole thing just went pitch black dark. Like you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And so a couple of youth leaders went and got their cars, because this is what youth leaders do, Kevin. They went and got their cars, and they pulled them up to the side of the pavilion and turned on their headlights, shone them in there, and then we kept right on going. And then there was one time where a bat got loose in the service, and that was super awkward, especially when I screamed out, get out of here, Satan. Kids didn't know what to do. It was super awkward. Anyway, see, we're going to be fine. I'm excited that you're here today if you are a guest, and if Summit's your home, I'm glad you're here today. We're in the middle of a series called In the Way of Grace, and the idea behind this series is something that I've been praying for you and something that I've been praying for myself, that we would intentionally continue to, or maybe for the first time, put ourselves in the way of grace, in the way of Jesus, so to speak. And then from that place, extend grace to those that we come in contact with in the everydayness of our lives. And so what we've been doing to start 2019, we've been processing through, as a church family, a couple of intentional ways that we can do that. Some would call them spiritual disciplines. Some would call them spiritual habits. But for 3 weeks, we talked about the beauty of the Scriptures and what it looks like for us to grow in interacting with God's Word, hearing from the Spirit of God through the Word of God. And then this is the third week that we've been talking about prayer, right? What it means to communicate with God. And Nathan, our family discipleship pastor at Summit, and John Isley, who's one of our life group leaders and deacons, over the last couple of weeks, they taught, did a fabulous job. And I wanted to talk a little bit about prayer today as well. Next week, we're going to go to our third way that we can put ourselves in the way of grace, and that's belonging, community, the importance of the body of Christ, truly doing life together. But I wanted to talk a little bit today on this last week on prayer. And I know for a lot of you in the room, when you hear someone say the word prayer, a lot of different things come possibly come to mind. I think I've shared this with a few of you before. Some of you, when you hear the word prayer, some of you go, I love to pray. Like praying is my favorite thing. Like if you want to talk in realm of spiritual disciplines, it's my favorite spiritual discipline. I like being able to talk to the Lord. Others of you, when you hear the word prayer, the first thing that pops into your mind is, I don't do that enough. I don't pray enough. Some of you go back into your childhood and you think of being going to church on Wednesday nights, because Wednesday nights is when they had the prayer meetings, and you think back on those times, and some of you might think back on those fondly. Others of you may think back on that not fondly, right? Some of you see the word prayer, and all that comes into your mind is, I'm a little bit lazy. That's what maybe you think about. Some of you see the word prayer, and your mind automatically goes to, God just answered one of my prayers that I was recently praying, and I'm incredibly thankful. Others of you see the word prayer, and you go, I've been praying the same thing for a really long time, and God doesn't answer my prayer, and I'm ticked. Some of you think, if we pray enough, God will heal our land. Some of you automatically think, when you see that word, man, we need to have prayer back in our schools. Some of you think, based on your past, what's the point? God's going to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Do my prayers really matter? Others of you, when you see the word prayer, what you automatically think is, if I don't pray, God will not move. It's up to me to get God to do anything on my behalf. That's an interesting thing about talking about something like prayer. We all come with a history. We all come with a background. We all come with a story. And there's lots of thoughts about prayer in a culture. Actually, when I say culture, I'm just talking about our culture of the United States of America that says that they pray. Do you know that close to 84% of adults in the United States say they prayed in the past week? So lots of thoughts about it, lots of people claiming they're doing it. I think for me, as I was processing and thinking through, this was the question that I was coming up with in my own mind, what does Jesus have to say about it? Yeah. For me personally, it's what I'm most interested in, and it's probably what I'm most interested in talking with you about. If we're going to put ourselves in the way of grace through prayer, what does Jesus have to say about prayer? So if you have your Bibles, will you open them up to Matthew? John was in Matthew 6 last week. Today, we're going to jump over to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. You might have your Bibles with you. Your scriptures might be on your handheld device. I do want to say this, and we say it periodically here. I think that now's a great time to say it as you turn to Matthew 7. If you don't have a copy, a hard copy of the scriptures, and you would like one, we have those. We'd love to give you one. Would you just let us know at our information desk today? We'll give you a copy of scriptures for you to have. I know I don't want to, some of you maybe have 37 copies at your house, but I don't want to assume that everybody has access to one. And so if you need a copy of the scriptures, we'd love to be able to get that for you. Matthew 7, I just want to start reading in verse 7 if I could. All right, here's what it says. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it'll be open. Verse 9 says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him? Now, this is a part of the Gospel of Matthew known as the Sermon on the Mount. And while I don't have time this morning to put everything into context, we actually several years ago taught through the Gospel of Matthew, and you can go online and you can listen to that if you're interested as we walk through the whole thing. But here in Matthew 5 and 6 and even here in chapter 7, Jesus has been articulating in the Sermon on the Mount what true life in his kingdom looks like versus what many listening to Jesus had concluded religion looked like from listening to and observing their religious leaders of the day. So here when Jesus starts to talk about prayer, just for context, just for understanding, he's doing so while having just talked about loving your enemies, giving to the needy, the fact that you can't serve God and money, not worrying and being anxious, that we shouldn't judge others, right? And so here, that's the context, and when he also begins to talk about prayer. As a matter of fact, he'd actually just talked about prayer. John last week was in a part of Matthew 6, known as the Lord's Prayer, a model of prayer. But here you come over to chapter 7, and Jesus is already talking about it again, right? So simply in the repetition of the topic, I think one of the things that we can note is the importance of it. And at the same time, this invitation to communicate with the creator of the universe, it's overwhelmingly beautiful. I think I can say it this way. I do believe there is a direct correlation between how you think about prayer and your prayers. Those two things go together. How you think about it will impact what your prayer life looks like. That's the reason I was listing all those things that people think about when they think about prayer, because everyone's got these thoughts. And I think that's why this passage is so sweet and inviting and life-giving. Like wrapping our heart and mind, me wrapping my heart and mind, you wrapping your heart and mind around the truths of this invitation from Jesus, I believe it alters our prayer life. It has for me. I would love for it to for you. If it hasn't, for some of you in the room, you say, yeah, it has altered my prayer life. It has ramifications for, I'm just using the phrase again, putting ourselves in the way of grace, so to speak. Look back at verse 7. Jesus says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open to you. So I want to stop right there, and I want to say it this way. Either this is the best invitation ever or one of the cruelest jokes ever. Right? Either this is one of the best invitations from Jesus Christ, or it is one of the meanest and cruelest things that Jesus could ever say. And I would say that the state of our prayer life indicates whether we believe it to be an invitation or a joke. Right? Jesus says to the disciples and to you and me, ask and it'll be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be open to you. Jesus, are you for real? So when you read that, again, you don't have to stand up and say it, but just think in your mind, when you hear those words, what do you think? What do you process through? For some of you, if you're honest, what you say is, yeah, right. Yeah, good one, Jesus. And there's a lot there. There's some of you that have been praying for very intentional, I would say God-honoring things. It would seem to you that God's not listening. Others of you, depending on your past, would go, well, I've prayed about certain things. I don't know how God-honoring they are. You know, every time that the Mega Millions gets to the mega category, like I really begin to pray. I'm asking and seeking and knocking, but I still got to go to work tomorrow. Right? From your perspective, it would appear you haven't gotten what you've been asking, seeking, and knocking for. And maybe from other people's perspective who know what you're praying about, they would go, well, you're not getting what you're asking, seeking, and knocking in regards to. So I want to look at what Jesus is actually saying and what he's not saying in the context in which he's saying it. As I've been processing and thinking through, just these words come back to my mind over and over again. Ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock. For me personally, I began to think about this in regards to my kids. A lot of you know that I have two daughters. One's getting ready to turn 14. The other one just this past week turned 10. And what that means, in case you don't know, is that there's currently a lot of asking in my home. Right? Oftentimes around, you know, I want this or I want that. I think an illustration that I shared with you one time, like my youngest daughter, like she wants things she's just constantly asking for. And she's always asking for Cheerios. We have them on the top shelf. I need to put them a little lower so she can just get them herself, because obviously she's just not tall enough to get them off the top shelf. And so there's constant asking for Cheerios. My daughter, Kate, has the best cholesterol of any 10-year-old out there. Right? Kids ask, don't they? And if they can't see you, what do? They come looking for you. Until when? Until they find you. And what do they do when they find you? They ask you. How often? Constantly, right? And if they come to a door that is closed and they think that you may be behind the door, what do? They knock. And why would they knock? Because they're seeking. And why are they seeking? They're seeking to ask you for something. And I just want to say this to some of you this morning. Again, I don't know everybody's story, Maybe God seems really near to you this morning. I want to encourage you to ask him for what you need. Maybe this morning God seems very far away from you. I want to encourage you to seek him and ask him for what you need. Maybe you sit here today and you feel as if God can't be bothered by you. What I want to encourage you with is to knock and ask him for what you need. Bring your needs. Bring your request. Right? Maybe there is this idea, like when you were younger, you were told to stop asking for things. Have you ever had that? I have. Like, I've had that conversation with my girls when we go to grandma and grandpa's house, right? Don't go in and just start asking for stuff. You ever have that? Am I the only ones ever had that conversation in the car? As soon as you go in the door, they'll start asking for stuff, all right? Yes, they love you, but they don't want to give you everything. But actually, maybe they do want to give them everything, right? Like, that's the thing. And what happens is, I think that has that can have a tendency to bleed into our relationship with God. But Jesus is saying, ask and seek and knock. Ask and seek and knock. Prayer's an interesting thing, because at the end of the day, you're the only one that knows whether you're taking Jesus up on his invitation. That's what's interesting about prayer, right? You're the only one really that would know whether you are asking or and seeking and knocking, or actually worrying and calling it prayer. Can I say it that way? I made that face because I'm talking to myself. Only you know if you're truly asking and seeking and knocking. But not only is the invitation there, there are some promises here. What does Jesus say? Ask and it's going to be given. Seek and you're going to find. Knock and it's going to be open. But keep going. Look at verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it'll be opened. It's almost like Jesus is saying in this verse, come on. Now, when Jesus is talking, he's not saying in the Sermon on the Mount, and now to chapter 7, verse 7. But if you're just reading along, if I could say it this way, I think what Jesus is saying, what I just said in verse 7, I really mean that. I'm going to say it again in verse 8. Right? Don't you believe me? What do you need? Now, I know some of you are hearing this, and again, it goes back to your past and everything like this. Some of you can process this in a couple of different categories. Some of you would have a tendency to think then that Jesus is kind of like your genie in a bottle, right? And some of you are worried that based on what I'm saying that people are going to think that, because maybe that's your past or you've seen that, like this idea. And I heard a pastor say this one time, like Jesus isn't your heavenly pinata and prayer is the magic whacking stick. Right? That's how some people have treated prayer, maybe, and maybe that's what you've been around. So you're real skeptical when you hear a pastor go, tell Jesus what you need. Ask Jesus for what you need. The letter of James, which you find later on in the New Testament, and we've talked through James before as well, addresses asking for the wrong sort of things with the wrong sort of motives, right? James 4:3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So yeah, there are some and always will be some that struggle with asking for the wrong things for the wrong reasons. But for many, the issue isn't asking for the wrong things as much as the issue is a reluctance to ask for the right things. So you may ask, Jason, what are you referring to when you say we should be asking for the right things? Well, again, I'm going to go back to context of what's being talked about by Jesus here. What's Jesus talking about in the Sermon on the Mount? He's talking about kingdom. He's talking about the kingdom life. The whole Sermon on the Mount has been about the life that Jesus offers in his kingdom, and he's talking about asking and seeking and knocking while having talked about kingdom. Because anyone who have heard Jesus talking up to this point about kingdom things, the things that I was listing earlier, don't judge, don't worry, don't serve money, love your enemies. When they're listening to Jesus talk all about that, also within the context of prayer, oh, Jesus, that seems like so much. Jesus, there's no way that I could ever live that kind of life. And Jesus says, well, ask me. Seek me. Come knocking, because I'm in the business of altering people's lives. And all of that life change comes from me, through me. So come asking and seeking and knocking. The psalmist says it this way, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And here's the point for us, I think, to remember in regards to prayer and putting ourselves in the way of grace as we talk to God. Not a Jason guarantee, it's just a biblical guarantee, which is much better than a Jason guarantee. Putting Jesus at the center of your life begins to alter the desires of your heart. That's what makes our God different, if I could say it that way. In this day and time when Jesus is teaching, every God that's out and about is a God that needs to be appeased, right? So all of the pagan gods are selfish and they're vengeful and they're vindictive. And so you had to do certain things to appease the sun god, and you had to do certain things to appease the sex god, and you had to do certain things to appease the water god and the agriculture god. Do for me, do for me, do for me. And Jesus shows up and says, my Father is a good, good Father because he sent me. He's the only God that sees you and me all the way, as I've said it this way in the past, to the bottom of who we are without him and says, not do for me, I'll do for you. When I say I'll do for you, what I mean by that is, here's my son. There is a direct correlation between how you believe God views you and your prayer life. There is a direct correlation between how you believe God views you and your prayer life. That is the reason we're constantly talking around Summit about how Jesus and the gospel motivates everything. It is the reason that we constantly come back to this idea that you are always seen through the lens of Jesus Christ, his perfect son, perfect sacrifice. It wasn't just even in your justification that God saw you through Jesus. It is in your sanctification that he continues to see you through Jesus. And that's the game changer. How do you believe God views you? But that has to be tied directly, not just to what you think, but to what Scripture says. That's the reason a biblical understanding, a biblical theology of who God is so important. That you're not writing the whims of your emotional feelings every day in regards to what you think may or not, may not be true about who God is and who you are. Look back at verse 9, it says, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And Jesus says, you know, you'll find in parents this innate impulse to care and to do what's best for your kids, yeah? To provide and to love and to protect. Yet because of sin, every human parent that has ever been has been flawed. And Jesus uses this word evil, and it's a strong word, but I think there's a purpose in it. I think the purpose is to drive home the point that God has none of the issue, flaws, sinful patterns that your earthly father had, that I have, right? That you may have as a father or mother. I think this is a way that he's saying the quality of our parenting can't match God's parenting towards us and for us. And even in our flawedness, no decent father would give his kid a stone if they needed bread. You get them bread. You get them the Cheerios off the top shelf because they're hungry. You give them a fish, not a steak. And again, I think it's just this other tangible reminder as Jesus is walking through the Sermon on the Mount of the generosity of God, because Jesus says, earthly sinful dads will watch out for their kids. How much more our Father in heaven, who has none of the issues we have, how much more then will he take care of us? Because here's the thing, and I think it's the kicker, that the impetus for the boldness to come and seek and ask and knock and keep asking and seeking and knocking is simply that. What? We are his kids. He has shown us his generosity in giving us his son, Jesus, making relationship with him possible. You believe it. You've accepted that. Many of you here have. You've experienced that. So why would we now think that he doesn't care to hear or to answer us? And I've already started to talk about it this morning, but we come back to it every week here at Summit. What Jesus did on the cross is the motivation for our lives continuing to be transformed and to change. And so again, here today, you hear it said, the gospel is the motivation for our prayer, our continued prayer, our boldness to put ourselves in the way of grace by asking and seeking and knocking. St. Augustine said, for what would he not now give to sons when they ask, when he has already granted this very thing, namely, that they might be sons? Some of you might say, well, I might pray for the wrong thing. Of course you will. I don't know if that's a relief or not. Yeah, of course you will. You don't know everything. You don't even know everything necessarily that you need. Neither do I, but God's big enough and sovereign enough and wise enough to sift through the requests that we bring to him. Like, again, I keep using my kids. But like, my kids ask for all kinds of things all the time, often the wrong things, right? And sometimes the answer is no. Does that keep them from asking? No. Right? And sometimes when you're having that conversation, they're asking, you've already said no. What do they say? But I really need it. No. You don't need that. There was a quote by Pastor Tim Keller, pastor up in New York. He said this, God gives to us everything we would have asked for if we knew everything he knows. I like that. That if we believe that God is all wise and powerful and loving, then he should not do for everyone everything that they could ever possibly want. Look back at verse 11. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? Like, and I think that's the idea for us. As we talk about prayers, like God does know what's good for us. What's good for you? What's good for me? What's good for our church family? He knows. And so I think what that means for us, I think, is this, just practically. What that means is that we can continually ask and seek and knock, but that you can actually do that in the midst of resting, because he knows exactly what you need when you need it. That this idea of just coming before the Lord and asking him actually can be coupled with this idea of rest, because he's a good father who knows exactly what you need. Those things can coexist. My constant asking, seeking, and knocking, and resting can coexist, because he's a good father, knowing exactly what I need, but he wants me to continually bring my requests to him. Especially the request that have to do with kingdom. Kingdom things. I mean, earlier in Matthew 6, I don't have time to get into it, but earlier in Matthew 6, you know, towards the end of Matthew 6, Jesus really looks at them all and says, don't worry. Like, don't worry. You don't need to worry. You don't need to be anxious about what to eat and what to wear. What does Jesus say? Your Father knows what you need. What is the encouragement at the end of chapter 6? To get in on kingdom things. Concern yourself with things of the kingdom, and I'll take care of the things that you need, because I know the things that you need. Now, again, that doesn't mean that you can't come and make things that to you may seem super practical and things, it doesn't mean you can't make that request. Make that request. But you make that request resting in the fact that he knows what you need. For some of you, I've shared a little bit of my own personal story before being a part of planting Summit. I was at another church here in town called Fellowship Greenville for about, at that time it's called Southside Fellowship, for like a decade on staff there. And about probably 5 months before I left to plant Summit, I was asked to teach on a Sunday morning. And that part of chapter six of Matthew was the passage that I was given to teach. And I remember teaching it, and I remember saying, man, you get in on kingdom things. Like the Lord knows your needs. Don't worry, don't fret about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Concern yourself with kingdom things. Fast forward 5 months, I quit my job, and we were going to start Summit, but at that time we didn't even know it was Summit. I mean, there were five families sitting in the living room, and honestly, I wasn't sure how to pay the bills. So, it was probably middle of January. And my time at the church there had ended end of December. So I'm a couple of weeks in to whatever is getting ready to happen. I had ideas, but they were ideas. And I'll never forget it. I was laying in bed fast asleep. I'm a strong sleeper. Might be my spiritual gift. A lot of energy in the day, and then I sleep very great at night. So I don't wake up very often in the middle of the night. But that night, I did. And it was probably 3 o'clock in the morning. And I, pastoral transparency again, I sat straight up in bed from a dead sleep. Jen was out beside me. And I said out loud enough that I could hear myself talking out loud, not loud enough to wake up my wife. These were the words that I uttered. What in the world have I done? That was it. Yeah? Were you thinking of something much more faithful than that? No. I had that freak out moment where I just sat up in bed and I said out loud, what in the world have I done? And the Spirit of God was so kind that at 3 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of January, months after I had preached through the Sermon on the Mount, part of teaching with the teaching team through the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord brought that back to my mind. I know your needs. I know that you want to pay your house bill. I know that you would like to have some food in the cupboard. I know that you could use some money for insurance. It was just a really sweet time for me, and it's not like I want to come across as saying I've never worried about anything since that day, but I can be totally honest with you and said in the moment of that, of what I felt like were the most pressing needs, Jesus said, I know what you need. So you can ask and you can seek and you can knock while at the same time saying, thy will be done. That makes sense? Like in Matthew 6 in the Lord's Prayer, I mean, that's a piece of it, right? Thy will be done. Jesus in the garden before he gives his life. God, if there is any other way that this could happen, but thy will be done. He is a good, good father giving good, good gifts to his children. First and foremost, experienced in the giving of his son Jesus to you and to me, to those that we do life with. And I honestly do believe that this is his generosity towards us in and through Jesus should then impact how we pray, that we do pray with boldness, that we pray with regularity. I'm getting the chance to commune with the God of the universe. And I think it impacts, for us as followers of Jesus, the intentional kingdom focus of our prayers. And I alluded to it at the end of our time last week, but I just want to put the question up there for you today, because this is a question that I constantly come back in regards to my prayer life, even in the asking and the seeking and the knocking. What are you currently praying about that is in step with the mission of God and for the glory of God that only God can do? Let me ask you that question, you personally. What are you currently praying about that is in step with the mission of God? What's God up to? Redeeming a people to himself. What are you currently asking, seeking, knocking? What will you not give up praying about that is in step with the mission of God for the glory of God that only God can do? God, you have to show up. You have to show up. If you don't show up, this doesn't happen. What is it? What is it that you're asking and seeking and knocking on? Maybe I could ask it this way. What have you stopped asking for, seeking after, and knocking on, possibly because God didn't come through for you in a time frame in which you think he should have come through for you? So many of you I have a relationship with that are in the room today, and I know things that you're currently walking through as an individual or things you're walking through as a family. And so many of the things that you're just crying out to the Lord for are in step with this, in line with this. Don't grow weary in asking. Don't grow weary in seeking. Don't get tired of knocking. And at the same time, if there is nothing currently that you're praying about, praying for, that if God, you don't show up, it's not going to happen, would you ask the Spirit of God to burden your heart for something in that regard? That we would be a people. Like, this is the piece, right? That continue. Why would we take a night coming up on February the 24th as a church where we're just going to come together as a group, whoever wants to come together, and pray? Because we got things. What things do we have? Things, God, you got to show up. And I'm going to ask, and I'm going to seek, and I'm going to knock. And it's not me looking at you and going, well, your thing's not really a thing. My thing is really a thing. No, there are things. What's the thing? Bring the thing. Pray the thing. Ask the thing. Seek the thing. Knock. He wants to hear. Your view of God impacts your prayer life, because if you think that when you come before the throne of grace and that God's like, oh man, you again. That's how some of you think in regards to prayer, and it will impact praying. He's a good, good father who will give you what you need when you need it, in the way that is for your ultimate good and his glory and fame. So ask, seek, knock. Pray about things where, God, you have to show up or this doesn't happen. I want to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. And as we were processing and thinking through just a way to conclude our service today, we thought a real sweet and practical way to be able to do that is through communion. So I'm going to ask our deacons, if they would, to go ahead and come forward. Grab the communion trays. If you're here today and you have a relationship with the Lord, you're more than welcome to take communion with us. When the deacons pass, in just a moment, when the deacons pass the trays, there's two cups stacked on top of one another, one with the bread and one with the juice. Just pull them both out. And Our team's going to lead us in a song. And just there in the quietness of your seat, as this next song is sung over you, we want to invite you to take communion, to remember. I pray that even as these elements are in your hand, that it's just another tangible reminder of God's deep care and love for you. His blood spilt. Like, why would we not feel the freedom, the desire to ask and to seek and to knock in regards to the one who gave you, gave me, gave us his son? So as these communion elements come around, it's a moment to say thank you, and then I think it's just a moment for us to go, what is the thing? Like, what am I asking, seeking, and knocking? What have I stopped asking, seeking, knocking in regards to? And as you take communion, know, may it be an encouragement to your heart that you may boldly, with no fear, no hesitation, come before the throne of God. As Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, interceding on your behalf. Jesus, we love you. Father God, you are a good, good Father. You have shown us that through the giving of your Son. And now, even through the indwelling of your Spirit. And we're thankful that as a body of Christ followers here at Summit Malden, that on this morning we can stop, remember your kindness and grace shown to us through the giving of your Son. Tangibly be reminded that we are welcome to come before you, to ask and to seek and to knock, to put ourselves in the way of grace, in the way of Jesus. We will thank you for it.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.